The choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, to sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game. I want you to be better educated about your money. I want you to live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go! Salutations, greetings, and hello! My name is Stephen Briggs. I am chairperson and CEO of Briggs Financial Incorporated. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 145, Level Up, Invest More. Investing is both one of the most important and frankly one of the least sexy things people can do with their money. It's really difficult to sit there and get on the IG or on Blue Sky or Threads or Twitter or Facebook and go, look at me buying some more, name the company or name the mutual fund or name the ETF or whatever. Not exactly something people tend to share with their friends and family. Unlike, I bought a new boat, we got a new house, look at us on vacation, look at this beautiful bag or dress or car or a trading card or video game I'm a big food pick person, so here's my smoker out back making some beautiful meats. So, you know, those are far sexier on the internet to share with friends. Then, hey, look, I just bought a few more shares of X company, XYZ company. So, and yet, in terms of everything we want to be able to do, and for many people that might be, I would like to not work until I'm 85. I would like to provide for some or all of my kids' post-secondary education, be it a trade school or college. I would like to be able to travel. I would like to be able to start a business or a nonprofit. Or, you know, there are lots of, you know, whys that will result in I need more funds and I need my money working for me, not just me earning it, sticking it in a savings account and earning 4% interest in order to, well, that's the current rate. You haven't been, if you've been in a savings account up until 2022, you weren't even being paid half of that. but, you know, it's going to likely require some outside effort and force and, frankly, some risk to be taken in order to make those things happen. And so in order to be able to do some or all the things I've listed, then you're very likely going to need some investing in the power of compounded growth to help you reach your goals. How much do people save? The answer is not nearly enough. And the data that really supports that, I'm looking at a Vanguard study that just recently come out. The report, by the way, is called the How America Saves Report. You can Google this and find this report for every year. And the 2023 one just came out. And what it found was that the median 401k, I'm going to read it out by age group. So if you're 25 to 34, the average 401k for that cohort is $30,000. The median is only $11,000. For age 35 to 44, your average 401k has $76,000 in it. The median has $28,000. If you're 45 to 54, average 401k is a balance of $142,000. Median, just $48,000. Age 55 to 64, average 401k size, $208,000. Median, meaning this is the 50th percentile, $71,000. And for age 65 and older, the average 401k is $232,000, but the median actually drops. It's just $70,620. Folks, that is not enough money to live on. And so what will happen is a number of people, especially as they get older, if they can't work until they drop. Which, by the way, AARP does a study on this every year. And they find that over half of people that respond to that survey, age 50 and older, say, I'm going to work until I drop. That's my retirement plan. And by age 60, over half of them have reduced their hours in the workforce, either because of their own personal health or the health of a family member or friend. So bottom line, this whole idea, I'm going to work until I drop, doesn't work for most people, even those intending to work until they drop. But these saving levels aren't sufficient. And here's the catch. It's really hard to catch up when you're in your 60s, when you're in your 70s. At that point, it is as much about working as long as possible to shorten the amount of time that those people, you're going to have to rely on a combination of Social Security and whatever investments you're able to make. So if you're listening to this and you're under the age of 50, I'm telling you, I mean, if you're any age, you should be getting your giddy up. But particularly if you're younger, your dollars are so powerful right now in terms of helping build a thing to not have to stress as much later on. I can't urge you enough to really listen in on these tips today. Because, yeah, if I mean, the scary thing, that median being 70K, 70K can get blown out by healthcare expenses fast, let alone just trying to live on that. It very difficult. I'm not going to say impossible, but extraordinarily difficult. And the bottom line is that when the money runs out, then things like people look at things like, well, I guess I have to sell my home. The home I may have been living in for 25 or 30 years that I want to live in during retirement. Can't do it. Can't afford it. Can't pay the taxes. Can't take care of the thing. And this is going to happen to, I am really actually pretty scared about what's going to happen to the Medicaid rolls in the next 15 years as the baby boomer generation ages further into, you know, in well into retirement ages, and these things crop up and people are, I mean, most of a household's net worth is tied into the house, not in their 401k. So when the money runs out, the only thing you can do at that point is sell the home. And that's that can be very difficult on someone that's older. And so it'd be not just on them, but on the surrounding family that may be asked to, you know, try to support that individual. So if you're sitting here and you're listening and you're younger and your parents are of this age, again, take this as a lesson. If they have not prepared in this way, one, what's your game plan for helping them, you know, throughout retirement? And two, if you have a plan, if you want to have a plan, and two, what are you going to do for yourself to not have the same fate? On that lovely grim note, I do want to point out here before I get into these tips that this episode and what I'm covering here is not intended to be investment advice or a recommendation of any sort. This is general information that we're talking about with respect to this, and that I strongly advise you after this, if you're thinking, hey, you know, I probably ought to up my game on this, to consider talking to an investment professional for personalized advice. This is general things to think about that might end up being good stewardship in your situation, but I don't know what your situation is, and I don't want this to be taken as, oh, I'm telling you to do a thing. I am not telling you to do a thing. I'm telling you to consider things and work with a professional. So with that said, how can you level up your investing? Number one, if you aren't participating in your workplace 401k, especially if they match your investment in some way, you should consider taking advantage of that. People refer to this as free money when a company doesn't match. It is not free money. It is part of your compensation package if you choose to take advantage of it. And keep in mind that it's the tax code, actually, that structures in a lot of ways how that 401k works and why matches and that type of thing tend to exist. So with that said, great that your employer is doing a match, but only works if you take advantage of it. Consider taking advantage of it. Number two, if you're already investing in your 401k, increasing the amount by even 1% can have a significant impact on your future. For example, If you currently make $75,000 a year and you contribute 5% instead of 4% and earn an average S&P 500 long-term return of 9.5% a year, over a 30-year period, that 1% bump up is over $100,000 of additional retirement savings. Mind you, that's more than that 1% is worth more than the median balance of any age group right now. I want you to think about that. That 1%'s a big deal. Over a 40-year period, that's a $300,000 difference. So if you're 40 and you're probably not going to tap into your 401k heavily until you're in your 70s or 80s, that thing could be a couple hundred thousand, 300,000 more just by ticking up that contribution rate 1%. That's pretty darn good. And again, it's just the power of allowing the, you know, a little bit of a level up to, you know, and maintaining that over your career. Let alone any pay raises you get, let alone if you decide to tick it up further. There's a lot of good stuff you can do here. Number three, are you taking advantage of contributing to an HSA if you're on a high deductible plan? Or a Roth IRA for investment savings if you qualify based on income? HSAs are extraordinarily powerful. They are doubly tax advantaged in that when you put money in, it is not subject to income tax. When you take money out for medical reimbursements, it is not subject to income tax there either. It's the most powerful retirement vehicle you can have. And with the Roth, you're putting in after-tax dollars, but the money you get, including the growth in the account, is also not subject to income tax. And on top of it, with HSAs and Roths, unlike their 401k counterparts, they do not have a required minimum distribution age, meaning that if you don't need the money when you're 75, you do not have to take any money out. You can let it just keep growing. And when you do need it later, it's not going to hit as income on your tax return, meaning that that's not going to affect how much of your Social Security is subject to tax. It's not going to increase your tax rate at all, because it is not considered income. That's huge. Absolutely huge. So if you're on a high deductible healthcare plan and you're not filling up your HSA, or if you make under $210,000 a year, if you're married filing jointly, or I want to say $130,000-$140,000 as a single individual, you need to be contributing to a Roth IRA, or at least considering it, rather. You really got to be considering that. So, and I just pulled up the limit here. Single, under 138. Under 138 for single individuals and under 218 for married filing jointly. You can put 100%, you can contribute up to the maximum, which per individual, it's $6,500 a year. And if you are age 50 or older, you can add a catch-up contribution on top of that. That's pretty sweet. And again, not taxable when you pull the money out in retirement. Number four, beyond qualified accounts, all these different retirement accounts, what are you saving in non-qualified accounts? Like, there are a couple of big issues, actually, with qualified accounts. One of them being, it does lock your money in until retirement, and if you try to pull the money out early, in some way, shape, or form, you are probably being penalized. But on top of that, the other issue we see, especially for people who are saving lots and lots of money in these vehicles, is that there has been some appetite from the government with respect to capping how much money you can have in qualified retirement accounts before they require you ahead of retirement to take money out and pay taxes on it. So, and I don't know what those rules will be in the future, but the fact is they nearly passed a set of laws to start putting limits on those things now. So beyond qualified accounts, especially if you're a high saver with lots of time. And I mean, the caps they're talking about are very high. Don't get me wrong. We're talking, at this point, they were talking about caps on people with at least $10 million in qualified retirement accounts. But the fact that they're talking about a limit at all means they can shift those goalposts at any time too. So I am a bit wary about having everything in an account where they can change the rules at a whim. And so having a non-qualified, some allocation in a non-qualified brokerage account and having the ability to use those funds, if, for example, in this current environment, it'd be very challenging to get a home equity line of credit and pay south of 10% in terms of the interest rate. But if you've built up a bunch of investments and grown them, you could withdraw money from a brokerage account to pay for, hey, we need new siding for the house or a new roof, or, we've got a, or looking to redo a kitchen or something like that. Instead of eating a 10 or 12 or 15% rate, credit card rate, basically, on a home equity line of credit, or just using a credit card straight up, you've built up some assets that are sitting in a brokerage account over the years, and you use some of them to help pay for that thing that you know you need to do without taking on that guaranteed loss. That's a pretty solid, that's a potentially a pretty solid line of play. Now, this is great discussion fodder for you with an investment professional or financial planner. But bottom line is that I am very much a fan of having a diversity of not just, tax treatment and access to resources, because we don't know what life is going to throw at us. And having having the bulk of one's net worth purely in these qualified retirement accounts under these rules may not serve what your life actually needs, depending on your individual situation. Again, this is great discussion talk between you and a planner to work through. Bottom line, though, in all of this is that investing can work in a variety of ways to reach whatever your goals are. And most people, frankly, need to be saving and investing considerably more to be prepared for that uncertain future. So if you're listening to this list and you're listening to me jabber here the last 15 minutes or so, and you think leveling up your investing sounds like a good fit for you right now, I just encourage you to reach out to an investment professional, build a strategy together that's going to fit your needs, your values, your future, but really think about these ideas in terms of making investing a stronger part of where your money is directed. Because again, going back to the Vanguard report, median balance is a $70,000. That's not a lot of money. Even the average, which therefore means there are lots of larger accounts pulling things up, but an average 65-year-old having $230,000 available to them, that's also not a lot of money. Like, if the idea is to pull 4 or 5% out a year, it's only a little over $10,000 that person could pull out a year and try to maintain the principal on that. And so the issue is that if they need more than that from it, which most people do, that's going to drain down fairly quickly. And the problem is that if we live into our 90s, which right now women are basically a coin flip to live to age 90. Men not as much yet, but we're catching up. Our money's got to last a lot longer. And again, if you are younger right now, if you're sitting here under the age of 50, I'll say this, if you're a woman under age 50, you might as well, you can mark it in your calendar. You're probably living to not, well beyond, beyond 90. If you're a man, you could be living 85 to 90, where our parents' generation, the, median, mortality rate was under 80 years of age. As we get healthier, as we have science that continues to advance and prolong living and life quality and so forth, these are amazing blessings. And at the same time, they have financial consequences. Our money has to last a lot longer, which means we have to save a lot more to make it last. And that saving probably needs to have a risk-reward component that can actually grow over time. So with that, I hope you consider all this. Think about your personal situation. Reach out to a professional. And I hope this has helped you get some ideas on how you can level up your finances this summer by leveling up your investing and invest more. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Money is Personal. You can catch all 145 episodes of the show on our website, BriggsWealth.com, as well as wherever your favorite podcast is, whether it's Player FM, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts. Hit a like, subscribe. Make sure you get all of our updates. Also, make sure you hit us up on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Threads. Follow us. We got lots of great tips and ideas for you. Lots of great information for you. I'm writing up articles for the Briggs blog. So periodically you got written stuff up on how you, like I said, and this is actionable stuff that you can be using, whether or not you ever hire us or whatever, immaterial to me. Like, yeah, I'd like your business, but the bigger point is that making sure there's great information to empower people to make better decisions for themselves. That's why I started this business 5.5 years ago. I love it, you know, more and more every single day I'm in it. And so anything our team can do to do better for you and help you level up your money all around, you ask, let us know, and we'll do our best to be of help. Thank you so much. Have a great week. Be safe. Be well. And we'll catch you with a fresh episode next week. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas. And check out our firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data for making financial or investment decisions and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice, and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. This information is not meant as a financial or investment advice pertaining to your personal situation. The selection of appropriate investment or planning options and/or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.